Dear friends, I am happy to be with you again and continue our study on the bowls, the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation. Today, we shall study the sixth bowl. Let me remind you briefly the first five ones. The first four affected our ecosystem like the first four trumpets, and they will have an impact upon the earth, the sea, the rivers and springs of water and the sun. By touching the earth, the first bowl spreads a loathsome foul sore that strikes men. The second bowl turns the sea into blood like the blood of a dead man. The third one causes the rivers and springs of water to become blood, while the fourth one has an impact upon the sun, causing it to burn men. We saw that the ecological consequences can be compared to those announced by the first four trumpets, except that with the trumpets, only one-third of the earth was affected, whereas with the bowls, the situation has worsened and the whole world is touched. We also saw a parallel between the plagues of Egypt, and we can still see the difference that exists between the people of Egypt and the people of the land of Goshen. And then we came to the fifth bowl. The fifth is darkness, darkness poured out on the throne of the beast. This parallels with the fifth trumpet, smoke arising out of the bottomless pit. We also saw, with certainty, the work of demons, evil spirits, who found a further field of action. And now, the sixth bowl. Here too we shall draw a parallel with the sixth trumpet. And note that the outcome is different. During the trumpet session, at the end of the sixth trumpet, we witnessed repentance, whereas with the bowls, there is no repentance at all. This state of mind is repeated several times. Now, with the sixth bowl, we'll draw a parallel with the sixth trumpet and note here the same attitude as with the sixth trumpet. I suggest we read together chapter 16 from verse 12. Revelation chapter 16, we'll be reading from verse 12 to verse 16. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Here is an issue that has caused rivers of ink to flow and much saliva. This text on Armageddon. I would simply like to point out that the text begins with the drying up of Euphrates. It is almost likely that we are there with the consequences of the sixth trumpet. In fact, The sixth trumpet described an extremely bloody war in the Middle East, and as a result of this war, it is likely that the Middle East has turned bloodless. Here lies, probably, the meaning of the drying up of the Euphrates, and the collapse of the Middle East enables powers of the East, the Far East, to come and participate in the gatherings of the nations. These frightening nations of the Far East now intervene in the context of this great gathering. Verse 13 will bring valuable insights. Revelation 16:13, "And I saw three unclean spirits, like frogs, coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." We have here three partners, and it turns out that we have already seen these three associating together. Let's read the transfer from the dragon to the beast. The beast is still that beast rising up out of the sea. Let's read in Revelation 13, verse 2. "Now, the beast which I saw was like a leopard, his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority." We see that this beast does not destroy the dragon to take its place. On the contrary, the transition is smooth. And we understood that the Roman Empire, one of the heads of Satan's enemy, passed on his authority smoothly to the feudal system of the Middle Ages. Now, we no longer speak of the Roman Empire. But what is the new form taken by Satan? We may think that this form is the one we find in Revelation 9, in the fifth trumpet. That star, fallen from heaven to the earth, to which is given the key to the bottomless pit, so that he could release the spirits of devils. This is what we can see before us, and probably the new appearance of Satan. They are the spirits of devils. Now, I suggest you look at the second association, the transfer of the power of the beast rising up out of the sea to that beast rising up out of the earth. We find this in Revelation 13, verse 12. "And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed." Therefore, the transition to this second beast, the beast with two horns, which is also called the false prophet, will take place smoothly. And he will exercise all the authority of the previous beast, but in his presence. The transition is indeed smooth. But what has become of the beast we have seen emerging from the sea, which we have identified as the power of the feudal Middle Ages? We saw that he received a mortal wound, but he rose from the ashes. This new emergence is probably the one described here. So now, we are able to define these three associates and conclude that these three associates are the European political religious system that will re-emerge. This is the beast. Then, the American political religious system, this is the false prophet. And then, all spiritualism, the work of the spirits of demons that is led by Satan, and that's the dragon. Hence, we can probably identify these three powers. These three powers will then act jointly what will they do? Send spirits of devils to the kings of the earth. Let's read it in verse 14 of chapter 16. Revelation 16:14. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The kings of the earth. We have already seen that these kings of all the earth are actually under the authority of Babylon. And we realize that these three associates eventually have the same authority as Babylon. And we have already come to the conclusion that the combination of these three accomplices, of these three partners, formed Babylon. And they will gather all the nations. So, I would like to go with you through some texts of the Old Testament where the prophets of the Old Testament talk interestingly of this gathering of the nations at the very end. I propose we read a first text from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 25, verses 31 to 33. Jeremiah 25, 31 to 33. A noise will come from the ends of the earth, for the Lord has a controversy with the nations. He will plead his case with all flesh. He will give those who are wicked the sword, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, disaster shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the farthest part of the earth. And at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. They shall not be lamented or gathered or buried. They shall become refuse on the ground. This text speaks of a terrible calamity. So terrible, there is no one to bury the dead. And finally, this will be the outcome. Let me turn to a second text. We read in the book of Zechariah, chapter 12, and verse 3. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. A little further in verse 8 we read, in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. This text is interesting because it shows us a gathering of the nations against Jerusalem. This is probably not the physical, but the spiritual Jerusalem, the spiritual Israel. And we see that the goal of this gathering is to destroy God's people. Ultimately, these nations are likely to destroy themselves, and they will destroy themselves. But the aim of the gathering is to destroy Israel. I would like to turn to a third text that also speaks of a gathering. It is in the book of Prophet Joel, chapter 3, verse 2. Joel 3:2. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there, on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Here is a gathering of the nations which aim to fight against God's people. Emphasis is placed on the fact that they are fighting against God, and it is God who will enter into judgment against these nations. Somehow, they will still pass judgment against themselves. So now I would like to come to verse 15 of our text, Revelation 16, verse 15. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Without any doubt, this verse announces the imminent coming of Jesus. Not only imminent, but surprising for men. But it seems a bit out of line with the above. Yet, I would like to point out of its appropriateness. In fact, we have an inclusion. Verse 14 tells us of the gathering of the nations, and verse 16 speaks of the gathering of the nations in a specific place called Armageddon, which we will study later. And in between, there is a message intended for the people of God. Well, this inclusion reveals that the mentioned gathering concerns God's people. And thus, it is advised to keep one's cloth, this white garment, this garment made of irreproachable character through the righteousness of Christ, obtained by forgiveness through Christ, and thus allowing God's people to walk clothed and shameless. The people is no longer subject to sin. This has not always been so. And this shame of his past could come up again. And no doubt that the people gathered against him are sure to remind him of his past. But he must keep his cloth, he must keep his assurance of Christ's forgiveness. Perhaps we should also see here an allusion to Babylon too, which will be laid bare. Revelation 17:16. And then the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, they will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, and eat her flesh and burn her with fire. If the people of God keeps his garments, his enemies won't keep theirs. There is probably here an allusion to the terrible seduction which the elected will be submitted to. This seduction is the one spoken by Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew 24, verse 24. This seduction is such that it would, if possible, deceive even the elect. So, the inclusion of verse 15 is perfectly in place. It shows us the purpose of the gathering against God's people. Now, let's read verse 16 and see what Revelation 16:16 says. And they gathered them together to a place called, in Hebrew, Armageddon. That's a word that is astonishing, a name that does not exist on any map. No place on earth is called Armageddon. Therefore, this name is certainly a symbol. The first meaning we can attribute to is the mountain of Megiddon, mountain of Megiddo. And it is true that Megiddo, sometimes, especially in the book of Zechariah, is called Megiddon. But the mountain of Megiddo does not exist neither. We talk about the valley of Megiddo, but not the mountain of Megiddo. There could be a second explanation for this name. It could be a distortion of Megiddo, which in reality would take the Hebrew word
Moed,
which means assembly. Thus, it could be the mountain of congregation. That mountain of the congregation spoken of in the book of Isaiah chapter 14. We may go to a text we have already read, which is in the book of the prophet Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 14. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning! How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations! For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, Har Moed, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Such is the scope of this mount of the congregation. It is the mountain of pride. It is the mountain where Satan sat, and it is the mountain where men can sit to, at the height of their pride, claiming to be like the Most High. So, we now come to the end. The nations are gathered. They are gathered to destroy a people, God's people, which they believe is within their reach. And it seems to be within their reach. This people can absolutely not defend himself. He has no means of defense. His exclusive remedy is God. His only possible victory is to keep the garment he has on him so that his shame does not appear. That is to keep that assurance of God's forgiveness, even though everything and everyone accuses him. Well, in those circumstances, temptation will be extremely terrible. But they that call themselves of the name of God have recognized their mistakes, the same have been forgiven. It is because they have recognized their sins that they have given glory to God in repentance. So God gives them the assurance of his forgiveness. God convinces them that their sins have been thrown into the depth of the sea and that they have nothing to fear of the accusations around them. May we keep that assurance of salvation and forgiveness in Jesus.